Mark Tibubin. Hello, friend, and welcome again to the next few moments of fellowship together around the wonderful truth of the living God. For the bread of God is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven to give life unto the world. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs, and I'm delighted that you're joining us here on the Internet for another few moments of fellowship together in the truth of the living God. Here in the book of Romans, chapter 5, we're talking about the benefits of justification. Remember, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of God, one of the benefits of justification. The grace of God, verse 2. Tribulations, a benefit of justification? Yes, beloved, because it is conforming us, and those are used to make us more like the Lord Jesus, to conform us to His image. And we learn much through tribulation. We learn patience. And patience, beloved, is a wonderful thing because it teaches us to wait upon the Lord, to allow God to do things in His time, to not run ahead of the Lord, because when we run ahead of God, we get ourselves into trouble. And then patience, experience. By experience, we learn of God's faithfulness. By experience, we learn that God's way is the best way. By experience, we learn that God's ways are far above our ways, and that God wants the best for our lives. And many times, we would choose that which is not the best. And so, by experience, we learned to let the Lord have His way in our life every day. And hope. We learn hope by experience. Hope makes not ashamed, verse 5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 is where we are, as we're talking about the benefits of justification. And so we're talking about the love of God. Now, last time we were in Romans chapter 8. And verse 9 and 10, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. And beloved, if you and I love God like we should, we'll hate evil. We'll abhor evil. We'll stand against evil. We will stand for righteousness and holiness and Christ-likeness when we allow God's love to flow through our inner being, because God's love, beloved, is righteous and pure and clean and holy, as we'll see when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, hold on to that which is good. Out of the love of God, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Love the brethren, uphold the brethren, pray for the brethren, encourage the brethren, and do not allow disharmony and disunity to enter in between you and the brethren. This is what causes so much chaos in the body of Christ. This is what causes so much harm and so many destructive things to come about in the body of Christ. This is what causes church splits. This is what causes the name of Christ to be disgraced and shamed. Jesus said, I would have you to love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. The love of God, beloved, when it's shed abroad in our hearts, it will let the world know about God and His love, and it will be manifested through we believers loving one another and laying down our lives for one another, upholding, encouraging, and helping one another in honor, preferring one another, he says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And then I want you to notice chapter 13 and verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Did you hear that, beloved? The Lord tells us to owe no man anything. Do you know why people get into debt? Because we're lusting after that which we cannot afford. We're lusting and longing to have that which we cannot afford. And so out of lust and covetousness, which is contrary to the Word of God, we covet something, we long to have it, and we go into debt in order to get it, and we get ourselves in bondage. Oh, beloved, God doesn't want us to be in bondage. He wants us to walk in liberty. Oh, I tell you, there was a time when I was in bondage, my wife and I. We were in bondage to credit cards. And oh, what a privilege and blessing and thrill it was to get those cards paid off and to owe no man anything. What a blessing when we got out from under that debt, when we got the property paid off, when we got the car paid off, when we didn't owe any man anything but to love one another. Oh, the blessing and the joy and the liberty of being free from debt. Oh, it's such a terrible, terrible sin that burdens and plagues so many of God's people and is holding so many of God's people in bondage. God does not want us owing anyone anything. Credit card? Yes, you can use a credit card, but you pay it off. You pay it off as soon as it comes due, if not before. Yes, I have made loans to buy things. Recently, we had our children to visit us, and we had the bathroom upstairs in the house here. It was remodeled. And we charged those things, but then before we even got the bill, I paid it off. And I paid off the entire bill at one time and was able to take back the things we didn't use and then to pay off the bill before we had any interest whatsoever due. And so, beloved, we're talking about owing no man anything but to love one another. This is what we owe people, beloved. We owe them love. That's the one thing that you owe your neighbor. That's the one thing that you owe your brothers in Christ. That's the one thing that you owe others, is to love one another, the sinner down the street. You owe it to him to love him and to manifest the love of Christ to him and to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus to him and to show him how to put his faith and trust in Christ to accept him as Savior. Yesterday I had an appointment at the bank. And I went in to talk with the lady there about the problem that I needed or the matter that I needed to take care of regarding banking. And as I started to leave, the Holy Spirit said, "Why don't you tell her about Jesus? She's not busy." And so I went back and I said, "Are you busy right now? Can you talk a minute?" She said, "Yes." And so I sat down and I began to present the gospel to her and to share with her the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she nodded her head and she said, "Yes, I thank you for sharing that with me." And I was telling her about the New Jerusalem and the glory that awaits the child of God and how that you can only go to this glorious place if you know Jesus Christ as Savior. And then you have free access into this glorious and wonderful place of heaven and how glorious it is. And she said, I asked her, I said, "Have you ever made that choice and decision?" She said, "Yes, I have." I said, "When?" She said, "About a year ago." And so we rejoice together in knowing the Lord as our Savior and being joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I explained to her a little about this new life in Christ and the blessing of walking in obedience to the Lord and living for Him and letting her testimony be an influence for His honor, glory, and praise. And so it was an opportunity to share a little bit with another child of God, to fulfill the law, to show forth kind affection to one another, as the Scripture tells us to. Oh, beloved, later in the day, we had a lady to come and help clean the house, because I'm not a very good house cleaner. I vacuum and so forth, but I don't do in-depth cleaning. I don't have time. And so the Lord has given us the privilege of having a lady to come and help us twice a week in cleaning the house and doing a good job of cleaning. And so I took her aside after she did her cleaning. We sat down at the dining room table, and I opened up a little bit of the Word of God with her, and we had a quick Bible study. And she had to leave early, and so I told her we would share more later. And she said, yes, I'd love to. But I didn't keep her very long, but we had an opportunity to get into the Word of God, and I explained to her a little bit about her new life in Christ and how she can grow in her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so being kindly affectioned one with another in brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, and showing forth the love of God. And so he says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, did you hear that last phrase, beloved? He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. The law of God, beloved, is fulfilled by this one thing, agape love. The power of God's agape love, which is a choice that's accomplished under the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. And that's who the Holy Spirit is. He is the Spirit of Christ. Verse 9 says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father. Jesus pointed that out in the book of John chapter 4. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The verse goes on to say, the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. So he's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of Christ. And so the believer is indwelt by the triune God through the person of the Holy Spirit. Oh, beloved, God's Word reveals so many wonderful truths. Till next time, goodbye.